Don't have the music quite ready here, Matt.
Okay. There you go. Anytime you want to hit it there. No? All right. All right. It is the with such precision and crack unit here, it is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Good to be with you today. Matt, Brett here. Brett is in the studio right now. Do we have you on Brett cam in there?
We are. You're trying to see me struggle to find your music.
Well, he's basically beating the computers with a baseball bat. Good quality entertainment, bringing the kids.
I have it now, but better late than never.
Oh, no, it's actually, no, it's not. No. It's just, we're done with that. A lot of things to get to today, a lot of national news to eventually touch on, hopefully, today. But 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, we are going to start once again with where we've been talking about for the last few days. From Friday, a caller named Ryan called in. Ryan is kind enough to join us again today and to talk a little bit more about what exactly happened to him and the story that he told us on Friday. Ryan, are you with us right now?
I am. Hi.
Hey, Ryan. Thank you very much. Now, first of all, thank you. I want to make sure I say this. Facing, you know, personal demons is always a tough thing to do. It is not something that is easy, and especially when you're in a public spotlight, I can easily understand how a lot of people will shy away from something like this. I appreciate you taking some time and talking with us and sharing your personal story, okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Let's recap once again what you told us on Friday in regards to you going to school at Eagan High School in the late 1990s with the Republican nominee to be Attorney General for the state of Minnesota, Doug Wardlow.
Okay. I moved to Eagan with my family in seventh grade, so I started with them in middle school. I came out rather early. I came out in eighth grade, and for the next year plus, I got a lot of harassment from multiple students, chief among them Doug Wardlow and his group of friends. It got bad to the point that early 10th grade, actually it's the 24th anniversary of it is this week, the day before MEA weekend, I attempted suicide. Ended up in the hospital for many months. And on my return to school, most people were a lot better to me. Doug greeted me with, "What, you couldn't even get that right?" And that's pretty much my experience with Doug Wardlow. Well, I haven't gotten any better since then.
You can tell from your story, once again, that what happened to you, whatever happened to you, it impacted you very strongly. I mean, that when you say what you say, I have no doubt that's what you felt you heard back when Wardlow talked to you, correct?
Yes.
There have been a few people who have backed up, not necessarily backed up your story. Your story is unique to yourself, but have said that they were in school as well, that either they are character witnesses for you, they vouch for your character and that you wouldn't be making this story up, or people who have said, no, I saw Doug Wardlow tease other people. One person on Twitter saying that, he teased me, but not as bad as he teased Ryan. So there have been some people that have come forward as well. So far, I have yet to hear from anyone from Eagan High School at that point saying, no, Doug Wardlow never teased anyone. I have not heard that side of it. I've only heard people that maybe not be backing up your story directly, but they have said that they trust you and that they had similar stories of bullying from Doug Wardlow.
That's good to hear. Not that he bullied other people, but that's people that remember that.
Well, of course not. It's not a good thing to be bullying people. I want to get into an interesting element that there's another story that broke over the weekend that is connected back to you. And I don't think a lot of people realize that it is connected back to you. The story was out that a former producer here at AM 950, William Davis, who now works for the DFL, had made an inappropriate comment on a social media post about a guillotine, and it would cross the line. Needless to say, the DFL has suspended William Davis for a week without pay. That was a story. That's not us breaking it. A lot of news outlets have broken the story. You pointed out that this story actually came from your social media feed.
Yeah, that was a post. The comment he made was on a post I shared, not realizing that after I shared the podcast from Friday so that my friends could share it. I marked it public, that it then set my default to public. So when I shared that joke, it was without the guillotine part of it. It was just the upcoming schedule, you know, Halloween, Day of the Dead, you know, election, take back your country. And he added his part to it in the comments. But I found it a little odd that the GOP or somebody there was watching my social media page. I'm nobody.
Well, and you know, and as a person that does get watched a lot, I can completely understand that. It there is now. I'm going to be completely above board. After you shared your story, I shared your name and your last name and some contact information with various media outlets. I have been in touch with all of them, and they have all said that no one from their side contacted Wardlow's camp with your first and last name. So it did not come from the media per se. I did not contact Wardlow's campaign. I have a fruit basket for delivery. That was not me. Do you know who it was? Is there any name in particular that you can claim was the person who shared that social media post with the DFL? Was there anyone that did you know for sure it came from the GOP, the Minnesota GOP, Doug Wardlow's campaign? Is there any way that you can narrow that down a little bit or no?
I saw one of the articles had a direct screenshot that was from my page because it had likes marked on it with my friend's names there. That was the only part they didn't cut off. My name was cut off at the top and William's name was cut off at the bottom. But one of the articles specifically said that a spokesperson from the Wardlow campaign had made the complaint, But that's all I know.
Well, and that's relevant. Someone from the Wardlow campaign made a complaint to the DFL on a social media post from your social media page. Now, I want to reiterate once again, on Friday, we never shared your last name. So that is not something that could happen. So when was that screenshot taken? You know, it was sometime in the next day, within 24 hours of you calling in on Friday, correct?
Yeah, the only public posts I made were on Friday and Saturday. And then I realized that I was still marked public and went back to friends only.
Okay. So that was on Saturday. So within 24 hours, really probably within 12 to 16 hours of you being on my show, that someone from the Wardlow campaign had, it is somehow the Wardlow campaign made the formal complaint on this. And so it would imply very strongly that someone from the Wardlow campaign had been up on your social media page, correct?
That would be what I think. There's plenty of Ryans in our graduating class of 430 some people.
For God's sakes, it was the late 90s. Ryan was Smith. Okay. It was a popular name. So what we're having to deal with here is this. I mean, because we can't say any definitives here. We can say it could be a wild circumstance, right?
Yep.
Absolutely. We can honestly say that someone could have heard this show, who knew you, who was friends with Doug Wardlow, and immediately contacted his campaign saying, guess who I heard on AM 950? And they could have found out that way. That's a legit way you can put it out there. But there's also the argument that they could have been up. They knew exactly who you were immediately after you were on this interview and immediately went to your social media pages immediately after him because they knew exactly who you were because they knew the story internally. There's that option as well. I don't know which one's true. It just is there does seem to be a very interesting coincidence that the Wardlow campaign made the complaint to the DFL via a social media post from your page after you shared the Wardlow story on Friday.
Yeah, personally, I'm going with Occam's razor on this.
Okay. I want to ask you, and once again, have you heard directly from the Wardlow campaign? Yes or no?
I have not.
All right. No. Have you do not know if we cannot say definitively whether the Wardlow campaign was the ones that discovered this social media post, which ended up in the complaint against William Davis. We just know that the complaint, the news story said the complaint originated from Wardlow's staff. Correct.
Correct.
All right. All right, I have to ask this question, and I want, and this is just a straightforward. I want your honest answer on this. let's say Doug Wardlow got in touch with you either publicly or privately and said, you know, Ryan, we are different people in high school. I was kind of a jerk. I know I was kind of a jerk. I said a lot of things I shouldn't have said. I said a lot of things which were probably out of line. I'm sorry. I should not have said those things. I'm a different man today. I do apologize. If he would come and say something like that to you, would that ease things up for you? How would you feel at that point?
It would depend on if he's also a different man than he was when he made the lawsuits and motions for the ADF. He continued to be as anti-gay and anti-trans as ever, as far as I can see, the rest of his adult life. So the apology for how far he went, that would mean something. Calling himself a different person, I don't think I could believe that.
So I want to make sure we do say this. You are to a point saying there's, because let's look at this as a personal and your personal politics, two separate things. Personally, you are saying that, yeah, if he did come to you, say privately and say, I'm really sorry. Cause hey, I went to my 20th high school reunion. I ran into people that were horrible bullies back then. I mean, it was a dyna in the Reagan 80s, dear Lord. And I mean, they were all like the bad guys in movies back then. They really were. But you run there and more than a few of them said, I was trying to please everyone. I was trying to please my parents. I was misguided. I was wrong. I mean, there are people that do that. So it does sound like that there was some personal admonishment for behavior that, you experienced. If he was to come to you and say, I'm sorry, I don't remember what you said, but I'm sorry. I mean, I'm a different person today. That on a personal level, that actually would mean something to you.
Yes, it would. I mean, literally every person that was horrible to me then, except Doug Wardlow and one of his closest friends then, has apologized to me since. One actually apologized to me by running into me at Pride. He's since come out.
Mm-hmm.
He was more or less, backed himself into a corner with friends like that and had to act like he did. And, people do change. That can happen. But from what I've seen, I don't know that he really has.
Well, and then there's the personal politics side, which is basically you are very concerned, as a lot of people are, as they should be, that his legal career points to basically an organization that proudly says our goal is to basically legislate from the bench and that we don't have to win houses and, senates and governor's offices. We're going to basically force legislation down the legislative and the executive branch through the judicial branch. And that's the organization he worked for. And once again, I'm not saying, and I hope you can understand, Ryan, I have to be an observer. We're going to let you speak your story here. You want to come on the air, you want to speak your story. I'm not sure what is, what is real, what is not. That is why we have said here, well, this might be worthy of an investigation, or at least someone asking questions, or if other people have had stories that they can share, that they feel like they want to share, by all means, we're open right now, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. And so as the story is yours as an individual, the reality is it brings up a question of should we have a bully, a potential bully as the attorney general? And that's a question that we need to ask. And I think that that's an important one to ask.
I appreciate that. I mean, as news and journalism, staying unbiased and neutral is your job. It's not something a lot of journalists seem to stick with all that much anymore, and I appreciate it when you do.
Well, I'm not a journalist. I'm a trained chimp, and I mean, I'm a talk show host, and so I mean, but I will say this: I mean, there are some journalists I have talked to with about this, and maybe they might be in touch to ask you more.
I've had a few in touch.
All right, you have had a few in touch. I will leave it at that. And Ryan, I appreciate the time. If you do hear something from the Wardlow camp, you're more than welcome to get in touch with us. Let us know what that is. And I appreciate you giving us the update on things that have happened since Friday. So thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
All right. Ryan giving us a call once again. That's a hard story. That is a hard story. But once again, there seems to be, it could be coincidence. It could be coincidence. And anyone out there wants to go, aha, you can't do that. You cannot do that. It could be just plain fluke that all of a sudden that Wardlow's campaign was the one that turned in William Davis because of the social media post off of Ryan's page the day after Ryan came on our show and shared his bullying story about Doug Wardlow. It could be just coincidence.
We don't know definitively, but it's possible.
We're clueless here. If you haven't heard this show, I mean, we're dribbling chimps. But we're going to put out the question. And it does seem like an interesting one, doesn't it? Who knew what when? That's an interesting question. And it goes back to the point that I've been making since Friday. I can't say what's real or what's not here. I can't say what's true and what's not. What I can say is, considering we're talking about the Attorney General's office, and reminder, on Friday, we broke the story. Not us. No. We don't break story. We break a lot of things here. By the way, microphone 3, bad. My bad. Okay? Oops. Before the show. But we didn't break the news, but the news broke on Friday of Wardlow getting taped at an event with Jason Lewis, where he said, the first thing I'm going to do when I get into office, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm probably missing the exact verbiage, but I'm going to fire the 42 Democratic lawyers and hire the 42 Republican lawyers. And you know, you know, that was not going well on that day either. But then you had this story, by the way, we did not blab about the Jason Lewis, story about the 42 lawyers things. That wasn't us. Although I heard Jason Lewis's rallies are delightful. Was it Burning Cross or no Burning Cross this time? I don't know. Was everyone wearing white? You never know. They're themes sometimes. I don't know. But that's why you ask for an investigation. That's why you ask for clarification. And like I said, there have been more than one person besides this that have said, oh yeah, I remember Doug back in high school, and yeah, he was a bully. I haven't heard anyone say he wasn't. There could be plenty of people out there. And needless to say, we have a question about Attorney General. And once again, it's Doug Wardlow's campaign who is bringing up personal character in this race. It is Doug Wardlow's campaign that is talking about the meat of the man, the bear that he has, the internal guy that is that individual. That is his campaign. That is who is doing this. And so I'm just saying, maybe, just maybe, it's fair to do the same thing for both sides. Keith Ellison's campaign has already asked for a Minneapolis police review. He has asked for the U.S. House to investigate this. And trust me, the Republicans there are drooling at the opportunity to do this. He's being forthright, at least, and saying, I want to do this. Now, the question is, should we have an investigation into not 50 years ago, not 40 years ago, not 30 years ago, but 20 years ago when you were in high school? That wasn't that long ago. That's a fair question to ask. And I think it's one that we should be asking. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Brett, for the record, have either one of us said that Doug Wardlow is guilty of anything?
We just don't know.
Don't know. We don't know. Mm-hmm. Don't know. We can talk about your fashion sense. But no, we're not going to do that. Guilty. Guilty of looking adorable, maybe. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. You are more than welcome to chime in on this one. Also, do a reminder, I got another pair of Seavers Fall Festival tickets to give away. Our final ones today, and they're open on Thursday with MEA Weekend here. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Did you realize that Drink in the Style is available on iTunes, Google Play, and pretty much every other podcast platform out there? You can listen to past episodes of Drink in the Style, or maybe download our really cool martini glass graphic, or just listen to your favorite episode again and again. But if you do, I need to ask you for a quick favor. Hop online and give us a 5-star rating. It helps others find the show and also boosts my fragile ego. Drink in the Style. It's a great way to kill Sundays, or really, any time at all.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Rudy Luther Toyota has a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota-certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers. They offer a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty, feature incredibly low interest rates, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And right now, they are paying top dollar for your trade-in, even if you didn't buy from them. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Standard Heating knows some things never get old for us Minnesotans. The fall colors, s'mores, and football tailgating. But some things like your furnace do get old, and that can mean higher heating bills. Fortunately, you can save $1,300 on a new high-efficiency furnace from Standard Heating and help cut your heating bills. Learn more about saving $1,300 on your new furnace at standardheatingdeals.com. Don't wait. These savings end October 31st. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Comfort you deserve.
I'm Connie Burek, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion radio show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. In this week's show, we will be talking about ways to de-stress your life, from techniques to therapies to breathing exercises. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion radio show, Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into life.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. You know, there are some times you have to ask yourself, and Brett, I don't know if this has crossed your mind as well, but you know, when you're talking about someone having allegations of being a bully, the question is that if you bring this topic up and per se that individual wins their political race, are you opening yourself up to be, bullied, per se? I think that there's an important element here that has to be brought forward, and that is we have in this country right now a insane double standard. I brought this up. I made a post this weekend. I said, have you ever noticed that whenever a Democrat from the metro area runs for a statewide race, the first way the media portrays it is, how is this metro area Democrat going to sell themselves out state? Well, wait a minute here. Jeff Johnson's a Hennepin County commissioner. That's Hennepin County. Doug Warlow is Eagan, I believe. That's the and then Kids and Karen Housley, like Stillwater, I believe. Their metro areas. Has anyone ever put a camera in front of, how is Jeff Johnson, the large glass of skim milk, going to sell himself out state as a metro area Republican? No. Of course, there's a double standard which exists here. You know, and like I said, I think that when I brought this story up, I was actually getting ready to rip on the Star Tribune for their, going after Keith Ellison. Did they go after all Republicans with the Jim Knobloch story? Did they? Or did they bury that story? Bury that story deep. We got to put that way back in the back of the paper. That's a tough story. I'm tired of this. I am tired of this double standard. And I don't have, and we have been very vocal here that, there should be investigation into Keith Ellison. And you know who else has said that? Keith Ellison. You know who else has said that? The DFL. They have been straightforward about this. So if you get allegations, someone calling up my show and saying, I think Doug Warlow was a bully. At least he was a bully to me back in school, and he said some pretty inexcusable things. Well, that's an interesting thing. That's an allegation. And the question then becomes, what do we do with that allegation? We had Kurt Dowd, the Speaker of the freaking Minnesota House, had thousands of dollars, over $10,000 worth of credit card debt, mysteriously forgiven. mysteriously forgiven by a law, like by a law firm who not only deals with credit issues, but also has a lobbying wing over in St. Paul. And no one raised an eyebrow. 30 years ago, there had been four journalists parked in his parking, in his driveway, following him everywhere he went, asking him over and over again about it. There would have been. I'm just asking for equity. And it's interesting because when I bring this up with Republicans, okay, are you saying that both should be investigated? They're saying, no, just Keith Ellis, don't you dare investigate Doug Wardlow. No, you're biased. I'm being the honest one here. Investigate both sides. Fair is fair, isn't it? Oh, that's right. One good bit of news, Brett. You know what this really does mean? We have new listeners! Hello, everyone from the Wardlow campaign who is listening to AM 950. Thanks for being here. We do a lots of goofy things. My name's Matt. That's Brett. Hunter sometimes shows up here, but, you know, it's Hunter. We talk stuff. You're really going to hate this show. I mean, if you're, like, you know, in the Wardlow camp, you are really going to hate this show. But thanks for being here. We got lots of things to get to. If you play your cards right, you could win yourself some Seavers Fall Festival tickets. We don't discriminate. You just got to be the right number caller. Who doesn't like that, huh? Welcome, Wardlow campaign staffers, now listening to AM 950 in the 3 o'clock hour.
Onions.
Onions and orchids. I haven't even done onions and orchids with you guys. Well, because they kind of ruined
it. I was going to say onions to new listeners. Onions is the good thing, isn't it? Or is it orchids?
Orchids is the good thing. Well,
well, then orchids to our new listeners.
And you do bring up a good point about, for a lot of guys, you know, hey, beef cooked in onions is pretty tasty. You know, it's kind of hard to sometimes say orchids are the good thing. Yeah. Orchids to the Wardlow campaign for listening to us. We do appreciate that. Onions to your politics. But, hey, it is us. And once again, dribbling chimps. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Speaking of attorney generals, I got to talk about Lori Swanson as she does her swan song as AG. She's picking a fight that needs to be picked. We'll talk about that when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Litton's Party Value has moved 1 mile north. Getting to Litton's Party Value is easy. Google 913 Plymouth Avenue North. Litton's Party Value's new location has the same great fun, party, holiday celebration supplies. Visit our Halloween section for your Halloween party and decorations and costumes too. Litton's Party Value has the selection, the quantities, and the low warehouse pricing you love. Visit our new location, 913 Plymouth Avenue North. Yes, free parking, or shop online, partyvalue.com.
As you know, I'm an animal lover, and you'd be surprised the mess just a tiny little chihuahua and guinea pig can manage to create. Thankfully, I call Zero Res to clean up the spots my critters leave on the carpeting. Their patented power water will clean the toughest messes and won't leave behind any of those smelly stains. Just call 952-ZERO-RES and tell them you're an AM 950 listener. And if you're looking for a new gig, they are now hiring. Go to the careers page on ZeroResMN.com for info. Zero Res. Spell it backward or forwards. It spells the same.
My favorite meal of the day is breakfast, and for morning vittles, I head to Milton's 36 and Douglas in Crystal. My favorite is either the rib scrambler, scrambled eggs with ribs, portobello mushrooms, jalapenos, and pepper jack cheese, or the steak and eggs. My wife loves the pepper jack creamy grits and the stuffed avocados with poached eggs cradled in avocado halves. The kids love the French toast or the stuffed French toast filled with fruit and cream cheese. Top it off with coffee done my way from the Milton's Coffee Bar, and I'm ready for the day. Breakfast is waiting for you at Milton's 36 and Douglas in Crystal.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week, I'll highlight Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a rising star who's unseated a 10-term Democrat to win the primary for a House seat in New York. Then I'll talk about racism and trauma. Lastly, I'll put in a plug for empathy. Much good stuff. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
It is an interesting timeline, though. Ryan calls this show Friday, late 3 o'clock hour. Makes a post that's public that William Davis made a comment on his Facebook page that was only public for basically 24 hours. somehow that got the comment that was made got reported to the DFL. There's a story there. That's a different story. I'm not going to get into that. But the news reports of that, you know, the report, the grievance being filed against the DFL were reports where it came from the Wardlow campaign, which would imply the Wardlow campaign was up on Ryan's Facebook page the day after we talked about him without mentioning his last name.
And as Ryan brought up, he's not a public figure. He's not some well-known celebrity or anything. He's just a guy.
There's, and once again, I want to be, once we're being completely above board here, I did hand off his information to some media outlets, but I did contact all those media outlets and none of them had shared Ryan's last name with Wardlow's campaign. And so, and I didn't do it. So the three most logical options are, well, and logical, I don't know. The three options.
Plausible options.
One, someone who listened to the show knew exactly who Ryan was, but was friends with Doug Wardlow, called Wardlow up and or his campaign up, saying, yeah, I remember that. Wasn't that Ryan Blank from Egan? Well, yeah, I remember that. And then they immediately went on the campaign to find out who this guy was. Or two, it was just one of the wildest flukes that someone from the Wardlow campaign just happened to be searching around on Ryan's Facebook page, coincidentally. Or three, that the Wardlow campaign knew immediately after Ryan was on the air who exactly Ryan was, which would possibly lend credence to Ryan's story, and immediately started looking him up. I don't know. We don't know. It's pure speculation. This is how irresponsible we are. We're speculating. We're not journalists. It's wild speculation. We don't know. But this is why an investigation would not be the worst thing in the world. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Milda's Cafe is the restaurant of the week. I got into a discussion with a guy from Ireland about pasties. And he's like, he's thinking I'm calling pasties. No, they're not pasties. They're pasties. Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, it's pasties. They have them. And I had to explain to this guy in Ireland, this was a Welsh thing that they brought. The people from Wales brought it over to Minnesota. You find pasties in northern Michigan, northern Wisconsin, northern Minnesota. They are a miner's food. They would take these. They're basically a meat and potato pie, like a calzone, only just meat and potatoes and no tomato sauce. And this was their lunch. They'd take this down to the mine, and they're delicious. And if you can find one of those Iron Range Scandinavian women with forearms like Schwarzenegger that basically can push the suet crust, and they just put suet in with the flour and... magnifico. They're wonderful. And I had to explain to the guy that this is what they are. He says they sound delicious. They are. If you would like to, he can get on this plane from Ireland, fly over to Minneapolis tomorrow and Friday for lunch at Milda's. It's pasty day. You can go get the pasties at lunch, 1720 Glenwood Avenue in Minneapolis, just east of Penn. It's the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. By the way, did you see Doug Padgett got some buzz?
Man, he is everywhere. He was on the broadcast. Now he was on a national outlet. I heard.
Was it on C-SPAN?
I think it was C-SPAN or CNBC or one of those.
He was on there and he basically was talking about how the Republicans are losing evangelical women. And he's on Raw Story, actually has the. I'm like, that's Doug Padgett. Hey, whoa, what did he do now? You
know, he's also been in the New York Times several times with op-eds that get published. Man, he's a big deal.
Oh, yeah, well. Isn't he though?
And then we have Matt McNeil.
I'll be weeping here on the floor. I'll be making more Jason Lewin jokes a little bit later on. Listen for your chance to win. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Doug, congratulations. You deserve it, my friend. I'm glad you're getting some big press on that. Speaking of big press, we need to give Lori Swanson a lot of credit here. The Attorney General for the state of Minnesota is still Lori Swanson. And she is suing three manufacturers of synthetic insulin for alleged price gouging people with diabetes who need the medication to manage their chronic diseases and stay alive. Now, we had Quid Nystrom, who has been a spokesperson, a national spokesperson for diabetes awareness on this show numerous times. She has been screaming this issue that the price of insulin has skyrocketed. And it's pharma bro kind of stuff. You know, it's the same thing with EpiPens. And if you've not been paying attention on this stuff, there came a point where greedy bastards got in these corporate in boardrooms and said, wait a minute here, we're only charging people $50 to save their lives? I bet you they'd pay $300 to save little Billy from a bee sting. And they started raising the price on EpiPens, and they started raising the price on insulin because they were wasting their time by getting charged a reasonable rate. People will pay to save their lives. And so that's what they did, because this is the Christian world we live in today, isn't it? Dear Lord. This is what's happened. This is what's happened. And I have friends who are, you know, not, I don't necessarily think they're living check to check, but they don't have a lot of extra spending money, and they have kids that need insulin. And insulin has gone up incredible. Because these people, and let's just cut the crud, they want boats, they want another vacation home, they want to go on a worldwide tour. They're basically making sure their kids and their grandkids and their great-grandkids and their great-great-grandkids and their great-great-great-great-grandkids never have to work a day in their lives. That the money that people are paying for insulin right now is basically going to be funding 200 years from now when they're up in Baffin Island in Canada, because it's going to be damn tropical up there. They're going to be pouring Cristal on each other on these beaches going, woo, thank great, 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 great grandpa. That is what's going on. And they are price gouging people, with especially in the case here, they're going after people who are allegedly price gouging people with diabetes who need the medication to manage their chronic diseases to stay alive. That is not something we should be proud of. And I commend Lori Swanson, who has been a fantastic attorney general, for taking on this, because this is just plain freaking evil. It is. It is just plain evil. You should not have a situation where people are making the decision on whether or not their kids get food or medicine, whether or not their kids get to basically, have the heat on at night in their place, or they have medicine. But that they basically have to deal with the same shoes they've had for 3 years, or they have medicine. You can't have a decent society like this. You sure as heck can't have a Christian society like this. And there is nothing Christian, and I'm throwing this Christianity out there, and once again, religious disclaimer, you do or do whatever it is you do or don't want to do, I'm Catholic. I'm pointing this out because this is a child of the modern conservative age. It's similar to a discussion I was having years ago about the developers that were going into Edina. And I was talking to a friend of mine who still lived in Edina, because I graduated Edina in 86. And he was out there. He moved into his parents' house after they passed away. And he'd been living there ever since. And in that time, he has watched every one of his neighbors. And don't get me wrong, these are upper middle class, lower upper class houses. They were already really nice. And he has watched them one after the other get ripped down around him. And these McMansions are built in their place. And he was out there talking to this developer who was desperately trying to get this guy to sell his house to them. And he was saying, you know, it's not our fault that the people of Edina were so stupid to not understand the value of the land that their houses were on. And his comment back to them was, they understood the value of these houses. They raised their families here, for goodness sakes. This was not an investment property. This is where their kids played in the driveway, and they had cookouts in the backyard, and they had Christmas around the Christmas tree, and they stayed together as a family. That's the real value of these houses. And the reality is that the developer kind of scoffed at him. He's like, whatever. We can develop it and make a heck of a lot more money, because the money was the most important thing. That's the same exact thing that's gone on with these drugs. These people sat down and said, wait a minute here. We're allowing people to save. We are saving these people's lives with an EpiPen, and all they're giving us is $60, $75? Enough of that. We're saving your lives. You owe us $500 for one of them. And no one has had the guts to look at these people and say, are you crazy? But every day in this country, people die of bee stings because people can't afford a freaking EpiPen. People die of diabetes because they can't afford their insulin. Or they're cutting their doses, for God's sakes. This is an incredibly important lawsuit. And the question that should be asked of both Keith Ellison and Doug Wardlow is that if you win, are you going to continue with this lawsuit if it's not resolved by the time Lori Swanson steps out of her office? Will you, fire the 42 lawyers that might be dealing with this lawsuit and replace them with brand new lawyers who might think, yeah, this is great, man. Screw that guy. It sucks to be you. Charge him $500. Or are you going to allow the lawsuit to go forward so that the state of Minnesota might actually be able to fight these jackals who are raising these prices, you know, just basically for profit margins? That's what it is. I mean, it's no different than Wells Fargo. When Wells Fargo was opening up bank accounts for people's names and you know, foreclosing on houses they didn't have loans on and stuff, they were doing it because that's the only way they can increase they're trying to increase their customer size, they're trying to increase their revenue. So they basically opened up accounts in their own clients' names and started charging them money for the accounts they didn't even freaking know they had open. Well, in the case of drug companies, what they do is saying, well, all of a sudden that one aspirin is no longer worth 0.47 cents. It's worth $6 each. And that's where this stuff is going. Unless we have the guts to look at these people and say, oh, heck no. And this is not against profits. This is not against successful companies. But this is about dangling the life of a child in front of their parents so that you can get a kick-ass jet ski. And that is not a society we should be part of. So, Doug Wardlow, so Keith Ellison, if you become the Attorney General of the state of Minnesota, are you going to continue this lawsuit if it's unresolved that Lori Swanson starting to try to fight for better prices for insulin and EpiPens in the state of Minnesota? Now, hers doesn't include EpiPens, but in a larger context. Are you? Or are you getting campaign donations from the drug companies? Is that possible? I don't know. By the way, Wardlow campaign people who are listening to this, you'll hear me say, I don't know a lot. It's advertised, okay? I don't know. I just ask a lot of questions because I'm a pain in the ass that way. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's talk about, when we come back, we'll talk. Well, actually, let's give away some tickets right now. Let's do that. Seavers Fall Festival, that is going on this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's down in Shakopee. They have a great time down there. If you haven't been down, they cut the corn maze. They got the corn pit. Lots of fun with the pumpkins. Good time for all. It's a great fall activity, and it's a little bit warmer out right now, so a great time for you to go out and do it. This is our final pair of tickets we have to give away. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Caller 5. Caller number 5. You will win yourself a pair of tickets to Seavers Fall Festival. Hey, and Wardlow campaign staffers, you're more than welcome to try as well. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Are you worried because the pain, numbness, tingling, or burning in your feet never seems to go away? You may feel like Lyrica or gabapentin never seem to fix your problem. Many of you are concerned because your sleep, walking, and balance problems are only getting worse. At Woodbury and Plymouth Neuropathy Care, we've helped thousands of patients reverse their neuropathy symptoms without harmful drugs or painful injections.
I had a lot of tingling in my feet, and my legs were extremely hot.
So then you went through our neuropathy program. What has changed about your feet?
Oh my gosh, the tingling is gone. I don't feel any tingling at all. That's a big relief because now I can sleep all night. Just been very happy with the treatment. Got good results. It's truly a life changer.
Call Woodbury and Plymouth Neuropathy Care today to schedule your free neuropathy severity consultation to see if our treatment methods are right for you. Call 763-325-4998. That's 763-325-4998. 763-325-4998.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
Anytime is the right time to update your music collection, so stop in at the Electric Fetus and browse their massive selection. You'll find everything from rock and pop to international and roots, and so much more, on CD and vinyl. Not only is Electric Fetus the best stop for music, but they also carry a wide and unique range of gifts. Bath products, clothing, books, stationery, candles, incense, you name it. That's the Electric Fetus at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
Congratulations, Charlie in St. Paul. You are our winner with the tickets to the Seavers Fall Festival. Made Brett have to work today. Nice.
You didn't do like collar 18 or something. You're a little nicer. I think you need to make Eric do collar 10 one day or something.
I've had producers, collar 25, and you're like, what? Oh, God, I hate you.
Yeah, maybe the eighth odd collar divided by two.
Yeah, go get the Don McLean album out. We'll need American Pie for this one. No, Charlie in St. Paul, you're going to go have a great time, some great fall fun at Seavers Fall Festival. That's in Shakopee going on. Now this week, once again, with MEA week, it's a special week with MEA week. It is on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you can go on out there on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, Sunday, have a great time down in Shakopee. We're supposed to have nice weather. It's right now. It's nice. We got a box elder bug invasion going on outside. You see it? How many box elder bugs are out there, man?
Making one last stand, huh?
Well, it's kind of like, do you remember there's a god-awful movie from the 70s about killer bees? And they had the bees all attacked a Volkswagen. I don't know.
You're telling me there were bad sci-fi movies from the 70s?
Oh, my God.
Really?
Well, so the plot was basically something to the point of they had the killer bees on a Volkswagen bug, and they drove it into the Superdome down in New Orleans and then lowered the air conditioner down to a temperature where the bees died, and they got the people out of the car. And I'm just sort of like, you know, you could move. You know, that seems like, you know, every time you've got a killer bee issue to have to go in there and have to fire up the AC of the Superdome. I think that's a little cost ineffective personally, but needless to say, that was the terrifying. It was right around the same time as the Bigfoot movie was out. He's scary. He's Bigfoot, and apparently can't be seen. 952-946-6205. One thing that can be seen, boy oh boy, it's deficit talk time. If you didn't see this, our deficit is outrageously high. This is the entire argument Republicans had when it came to the Trump tax bill was that, you liberal, we're going to give the billionaires and the millionaires all the money, and they're going to turn around and make more money. They're not going to keep it and not spend it. They're not going to basically save that for their great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids. They're going to spend it. It's going to make so much more revenue. It's going to be so much awesome. And that was their entire argument, that there was this mythical number. And they all, I mean, no one who listened to the White House's claims of revenue increasement off of the Trump tax bill believed a word of it. They were putting out numbers which were once in a few hundred year numbers that were all, this was all going to come back in. Well, funny story, the money did not come back in. As a matter of fact, our deficit is growing astronomically. Astronomically, we're going to have a $1 trillion annual deficit next year. Remember, that was initially not going to be here till 20. This, with their own plan, their own admission, it was going to be there in 2024, then 2022, then 2020. Now it's 2019. Oh, yeah, it's because they're the money we gave these people. I mean, this is the Republican tax policy in a nutshell. Take a Brinks truck filled up with U.S. taxpayer dollars, go to the wealthiest people in your community, open up the door, shovel in two or three snow shovel full of taxpayer money for free just because they're rich, strap on your knee pads, say thank you very much, and off you go. And then go on to the next millionaire and billionaire house. And their argument is, it's just, you create so much revenue. It doesn't. It doesn't create any revenue. It's never created revenue. Trickle-down economics does not work because the people that take the money, A, they're not going to buy more milk. B, if they are buying luxury items, a lot of those luxury items are purchased overseas. And C, the vast majority of money that has been given back through trickle-down tax breaks stays in wealthy people's in long-term retirement accounts so that their great-grandkids and their great-great-grandkids and their great-great-great-great-grandkids never have to work a day of their life. That's all we've done. But then in turn, when we have exactly what happened here, which everyone said was going to happen, are the Republicans going to go, gee willikers, were we idiots? We should have never let all those Republicans take all that taxpayer revenue and just pocket it. Well, we better go get that money back from them. No, they're not going to say that. What they're going to do is this, you know who the real problem is? Look at that child with an apple. You know how much that apple cost? That apple, that apple probably cost $70 billion. Get that apple from that hungry kid. That's their argument. They knowingly do this. This is all by design. Take all the revenue, give it to the wealthy people. It's never going to come back. You create a massive budget deficit, and then you say we're going to solve this problem by getting rid of public transportation, getting rid of healthcare, getting rid of public schools, getting rid of environmental protection areas, getting rid of highways, getting rid of everything. Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, gone. We have to, because we got to make up for this budget shortfall. We gave all the money to the billionaires. And until we wake up and we say, what the? No, go to the billionaire and get the money back. Until we have the guts to say that, we're all going to get screwed. Because right now, this budget deficit that Trump has created is going to be so bad. Kiss goodbye the Postal Service. Kiss goodbye all the public libraries, all the arts gone. They're not going to be able to clean streets. We're not going to be able to have clean water. We're not going to have anything because we're going to have to take every bit of dollars we can and pay it into this because it's a massive deficit because the Republicans refuse to ask the billionaires and the millionaires for the money back that they gave them recklessly. But I want to make sure I do point out, last year or 2 years ago, back when Obama was president, I asked a lot of Republicans, do you just hate the guy because of the color of their skin? And they said, no, Matt, it's deficits. He's the worst deficit president we've ever had, ever, ever, ever. He's the worst. And because of him, that is why I hate him. That is because I hate him there. It's not the color of his skin, it's deficits. And I said, really? And they said, trust me, if a Republican was ever as bad at the deficit as Obama, I'd be 10 times as loud. Funny story. Not a single Republican has said a damn word about the fact that their guy has basically made a crippling budget that is going to end up screwing us all over. Not a peep, because deficits don't matter when there's a Republican in the White House. It was about the color of their skin. Hunter, Brett up next. Till tomorrow, see ya.